Is the record with a question we presented in the whole session?
Well, we can put our MOUs in the shredder temporarily. we met today with Ivy and Casey, and Mayor Foy was present, and Ralph and Cal and I, and we go over the high points or the key points of the conversation, but we were able to make, I think, clarify some key issues in I think that, you know, there's an opportunity I think we're much closer, and some clarification of key issues was very productive. So I'll say that Casey came to the meeting extremely well prepared. My sense is that Rand very much like to make an agreement with the town to see this deal.
I think that's right. And we confirmed very clearly that Rand's attorneys don't have any authority to bargain about anything. So we were barking up the wrong tree there. It's very clear that Casey and Ivy are in charge of the deal, and that's who we really got to pay attention to. The attorneys may be involved in writing something up later on, but they're not going to be involved in the real negotiation of this deal. The general tone, I think, is what was most important. And Casey came with the intent of making things move forward, not to impose obstacles that would prevent us moving forward. And he was obviously trying to understand what the town's interests are and what our concerns are and the environment in which you're having to operate. And so that was very positive, and I think set a good tone from the outset. The mayor and Councilmember Strong tried to equally establish that kind of environment, of looking for how to make this go forward, but recognizing the town's interests. And at the same time, acknowledging that some of the things that we're concerned about create difficulties and challenges for Casey Matter. It was a long conversation from around noon until about 2:30, I suppose.
And we broke it down. Kevin walked out at 2:30.
Yeah. And so I'm not going to be able to give you all of that, but I'll do my best to touch on high points, and Ralph can add and Bill as well. I want to start with money, because to me one of the key considerations is how does the money work? And they understand that it's important for the council to have definition about what its dollar exposure is. And I think they understand why the council is concerned about that. They are willing to work toward a fixed price deal, and they're willing to try and find money so that we end up with nothing out of pocket. At the same time, they think that would be hard to do, and some of the proposals that they would make might not be acceptable to the council. For example, citing something that I think would be acceptable, Candler will use the notion that we talked about that she put on the table of taking some of the future revenues and making them present revenues. And specifically, they talked about taking the additional rent that they've now due to pay and capitalizing all of that and making that an upfront payment to us. And that would produce about $900,000, I think.
Was that
your idea?
No, what I said was is that the future profits could be used to finance what we're doing.
That's right.
Exactly.
And so they get that, and they're willing to do that kind of thing. They're willing to search for other devices that they could use that would help us out without creating problems for us. One of the areas they're willing to look at is whether or not there's some manner in which they can get additional parking from us and pay us in a reasonable fashion for it up front. I'll talk about parking separately because that's another one of the key issues. We talked about the possibility of having TIFs used, tax increment financing arrangements. And I explained that there is not strong, solid, unanimous support from the council on that. In fact, to the contrary, there's division of opinion and uncertainty about whether or not tax increment financing could be a good device for use in our community. And generally, I thought it'd be better to avoid it if we could. And they understand why. And they gave very clear indication that they understood why, as we talked about. And they repeated their offer to advance funds to us, that we would give them credit for in some way. We explained that that constitutes a loan that the local government commission would not approve, and gave them a better understanding of that. We put on the table that we would look from our end to see if there are dollars that are going to come to us as a result of moving forward with this whole transaction that we might put in the mix. And I use the example of special use permit fees or building inspection fees, things of that nature, because there are some dollars that come to us as a part of the transaction that we've not figured into anything at this point. In case you committed to the mayor and Bill, that he would look for dollars on his end to try and find some way to bring it to zero, and I promised I would do the same kind of thing. I'm going to look a little beyond that. I'm going to also go ahead and work with Ted to figure out what our options might be in case you do decide that you're willing to spend $1 million or $2 million on this project. Because I think that's the range that we're talking about. It's really not going to be more than that, in my opinion, based on everything I see right now. And we'll be working on that in the next day or so, trying to get a sense of what the possibilities are there. Parking has a relationship to cost, and is a next big item for them. They acknowledge that they had some holes in their proposal on the Wallace deck, and that. And we acknowledge that we had some problems in our thinking about the parking on the Wallace deck. And if you look at the RFP and you look how they respond, you see holes on both sides. And so there's no bad feeling about any of that. It's just recognized as a factual situation. And they need to have parking either at the Wallace deck or very nearby in order to help sell their units. They just don't think they can sell them without the residential. Residential ones. And so one of their options is to provide additional parking at lot 5. They think that's a little too far away, but they might be able to do that. They expressed concern about paying the additional cost of going underground. But then later on, because we talked about parking and then talked about the money, they would be able to make that go away, they hope, so that it's a zero problem for us. They would really like to have a clear understanding of how many spaces we think they could get at the Wallace deck. And offered an opinion that they could get 50 spaces without much trouble, that we could do that on the basis of just eliminating leases that we've had. Excuse me.
They also dismissed the possibility of building new parking on the Wallace deck side. They don't think that.
They said they did not think that would work.
Maybe no contest with an additional layer of parking and then
yeah. I don't think that would work.
Could you back up a second, Pat? You just said that they could make that go away. I mean, they could make the additional money for parking go away.
They could make the cost that they'd like to charge us go away.
That's right. Okay.
They're going to look for somebody to do it. They're willing to look for somebody to do that. They want to do that if they can. And I express also that it might be possible to allow as many as 70 spaces to be used at the Wallace deck. And that what I was doing was giving the council members a range of what I thought was possible and not likely to create furor, and what I thought the edge of where the firestorm would begin was, and that's at 70. And it's really about supply. It's not about cost or anything else. It's about supply. What you believe we can impose on the downtown without hurting everybody. And my gut level is anything over 50 starts to be a problem for the council because it will be a problem in reality for the downtown community.
How many units are, excuse me, Wells Tech residential units? How many are they contemplating?
That can't go through this whole...
Okay, well, I mean, that relates to the parking.
100. That's right, but he talked informally about whether, how we would think about reducing those units, not just significantly, but reducing it some, building some luxury units there to push its parking
out. Right. Hey. Continuing along that same line, he said, well, I said, Bill might have a different number than mine. He might think 80. Kevin might think 100. I don't know what individual council members might think. I'm just often, I'm assessing what the politics are and what the practicalities are. And they understood that. They talked about the possibility of getting space in the Bank of America parking lot on some kind of long-term basis, or creating those spaces off-site of parking lot 5. And then they talked about the possibility of reducing the demand for parking by reducing the number of units at the walk-through. And the team of people were basically encouraged them to think about that as a possibility. And one way they're thinking about doing it is by taking the small property behind the old post office, the separate lot on Rosemary Street, and reducing the number of units there, but making them more expensive. And I mentioned then I talked with Joe Haken, who holds the town record for getting special use permits, something about this whole notion. The truth is, I've reviewed it all with Joe to get feedback from him just as an independent outside observer, because he knows a lot about the development business. And he said his advice to that site would be to take it and make luxury units out of it. It's in the historic district, it'll have the best views, it's got a great location, close to McCorkle Place, and he believes they would be easy to sell to very wealthy people.
Would this retain the commercial stuff downstairs or not?
No.
No, just make the whole thing?
I didn't talk about it in that kind of detail.
Not nearly as much detail.
No.
No,
I just said that was part of it.
The reason that this was discussed was that Casey was actively brainstorming how to make...
That's right. Limited parking and more quickly.
Looking for the tone in the room was actively brainstorming.
That's right.
As partners.
Yeah. This is the only discussion that we've had with them where I felt like there was an atmosphere of partnership and full disclosure. And it was a much more comfortable and productive environment than what we've had before. A key to them is reasonable approvals from the town. And one of the things they don't want is they don't want the town to be able to tell them who the individual property manager is, although they wouldn't have any objection perhaps to the property management company having to be approved by the council. They don't want to have approval rights of the council, including the mix of tenants and the size of space and the location of tenants and things of that nature. They feel like the approval rights are in too much detail and will hamper their operation too much, particularly as to the retail. They didn't complain at all that I heard about design approvals. So they stated that they want to continue the process they've been through of bringing things to the council and getting you involved. They understand that you're going to need facade approvals and materials approvals and things of that nature. They are worried that you will impose something near the tail end of the process through the special use permit that would substantially increase their cost exposure at a time when they just couldn't do anything about it. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, the approval issue was the first material part of the conversation. When we got through it, the atmosphere changed significantly. On the design side, they are completely willing to set a point. You know, on the early, they want they want us to get on board with the design early. You're willing to go past schematic, somewhat past schematic, but at a certain point, they want certainty that we're not in a mess with the design.
Right.
And that's very reasonable to me. They're really flexible on input, feedback, completely open on those type of issues, but they want to pick a point in time at which that happens. Not recognizing that the whole thing, that the council could reject the whole deal if you want.
Well, I agree that that's what we need. In part because when you get to the SEP process, if we were to reject their SEP application and the sole reason was we didn't like the facade of one building, I would take it to us.
Well,
that's
not very reasonable. The difference is that we are the owner of the property.
Well, I mean, I guess we would be part. We would be pulling out of the SEP process. I mean, that does make it complicated. But I think that we really to make it a clean process. We need to agree upon all that stuff before that phase begins.
I'd say the door is open for a lot of effort. And the door is wide open for all of the lead process reviews to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like to get real lead certification if possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, I've said several times, we're getting hung up with. It's easier for them to stand in front of the council and say, we're with you on this, and putting it onto a piece of paper that locks them out of certain options is very frightening to them. So,
and yet they understand.
An example of
they understand that the council needs to have a reasonable assurance that you are going to be able to affect the design, and that they are going to have faith in the city. And they understand that you need that because you represent the people in the property. And they really do get that. And the struggle, I think, will be to find the words that they can live with and that we can live with. And we'll get to that in a little bit, too.
I haven't been an SUP watcher, certainly to the degree that you have over the years, but I don't see where the council comes in and just says, this is ugly, we're not going to let you build it.
We've done that.
Well, really?
So back to Performance Spiders, they came in with a concept plan.
Well, that was the concept plan stage, and it wasn't the end thing. You didn't do it. I mean, I can name some of the things that I've been there at that I was very tempted to.
Oh, you don't have to begin it.
Yeah, exactly, which is where their concern is.
This council has not done that.
Right.
In my recollection. Yeah. Previous councils have done that. But the process is different now. And the very fact that you put the concept plan on the front end, I think, has virtually eliminated that problem that used to occur.
Yeah, well, and it seems to me that the beginning or the fact that we're wearing two hats here, but at the same time, there's still just one head. So, I mean, nobody's talked about the conflict of interest of us approving our own development. But it's, it works in their favor.
Everything you do is in the
hands of the PSC, though.
No, exactly. It's just not the PSC.
And that was always very clear. Now we're talking about the county regulatory role versus the previous
owner.
I see us doing that again this time.
Yes.
Measure that.
Right, and the TSC certainly didn't have any trouble in the SUP process at the end with design. I mean, that's what they need to be.
That's the best example of the process that we're following now.
Right.
Because we're much more aligned with that process than we are regular.
Okay, so those are the people they need to talk to. They need to talk to Hank and Corley's, whatever their predecessors are. I mean, not predecessors, successors are.
Who? Corley
read that. Exactly. They need to talk to them and see what their experience with us was. I mean, that should alleviate some of their fears.
But,
yeah.
This is noise.
Yeah.
This really was just noise. That, it, as Carol said, it was really about the money.
Yeah. They get the design part, and they will work with us to find process and wording that they can live with and the shop can live with too.
But it's just about, like you say, $0 to $2 million.
Well,
what's the other money? I mean.
Well, there's more. I'm not quite finished.
Okay.
Affordable housing. They feel strongly that 15% is the right number. They put forward the argument that that's what the council expects everybody else to do. And they put forward the argument that doing more than that affects their ability to produce the numbers that you want. Kevin, in particular, Kim argued that 20% was what the council had been seeking. It was the number that we had said you wanted because this was a special project. And so that's still an area of discussion.
They did say they would do, if they would offer 15% based on the original numbers and 20% of anything above the
restaurant. Which is just one or two units anyway.
Which is just one or two units.
Yeah.
And they're edited. Go ahead. Well, the other part was just split between the property size.
Right. They are interested in having some flexibility. If the council says no flexibility, they'll accept that. But they would like to have some flexibility so that perhaps a few more units might be in one place and a few less in another place.
Did you get a little detail talking about the language of Jane Glenn's current draft? Because it gives legally limited flexibility on how you really interpret it. Because you really have to.
They didn't want to look at the language, so I just used the language in conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't steer to look at the table.
I'm not even sure Casey's really looked at it.
Okay.
Yes,
I think he has.
Well,
They're not backing out.
See, my feeling is that the political aspects of us getting somewhere above 15% are important, and we're pursuing if we could.
Kevin felt the same way. Yeah. I don't necessarily feel the same way.
Yeah. But I just think because then it becomes only one or two. I mean, the difference between 15 and 17 and a half is, again, only a couple units.
But in reality, at the end of it, I mean, this affordable housing is a big hurdle for them.
I hear that.
We can capitalize. We get a lot of benefit from approving it at 15%. I'm not advocating for it, but I do think that we are, having gone through this process and analyzed development numbers so carefully, we can easily say to our colleagues on council and the public, boy, we've been right all along at 15%, that it squeezes this deal very, very hard, but it's doable at 15%, and it's very difficult above that. So
one of the notions I think Bill put on the table in the spirit of generating ideas about how to solve these problems was the notion of the town investing some funds to help make affordable housing more feasible in the deal. And if we're going to invest money, I would prefer to be able to say that at least some portion of our money was being invested in like affordable housing.
Right, and then it would be nice if it pushed it above. The 15, being above 15, even a small amount above 15, is a symbolic. Yeah, exactly. And we're willing to put more of our money where more of our mouth is.
So one of the things that Kay and I will look at is what could we do in that regard.
Yeah.
And that's an example of the spirit of these discussions. There were lots of ideas put on the table, some quickly dismissed as just not workable, but others that have more promise. And the spirit of the discussion was real good, I think. One of the things that bothers them a lot is John, and John's insistence on seeing the numbers. And I think one of the reasons Casey is willing to agree to a fixed price deal is so he won't have to say John always the numbers all the time. I really do believe that. Well, John is earning his keep.
I don't think you have to be, I mean, he all but said that.
Yeah. He does not want to have to go through a process of every month reviewing all his numbers with John. what he is willing to do is give John the same kind of numbers that they're going to have to give to their lien holders, the banks, and review their draws against the bank's capital, that kind of thing, so that we would know whether or not they were in decent position and were using the funds wisely, whether or not they had to put more capital in themselves, things of that nature. And they know far more about these kinds of deals than I ever will. I want to hear your advice about whether or not that makes any sense, either now or later.
Well, from my perspective, you need to see the numbers for three reasons only. You need to review them for three reasons only. One, you want to make sure that they've got enough equity in it. So what he's talking about is, once you get up to construction, they put in their equity, we've got our money in, and you want to track the construction, make sure it doesn't get underwater.
Right.
And that's a reasonable thing, and they should object to that.
And
that would not...
They absolutely...
And that's the thing, that we can keep those from being public documents.
Right.
We can do that.
And they were concerned about that, and they were glad to hear that that was possible.
The second reason, if you look at the numbers, is to make sure that they haven't pulled something out of the budget that you had previously approved in the design.
Mm-hmm.
As you're looking at the numbers,
right,
you see that they're doing what they said they would do on the design.
So they don't take the cupola off the tower.
Yeah. Or go from...
Leave the floor off.
Go from real brick to brick on air or something like that.
Yeah, but I don't see how that's reflected in the numbers. I mean, it would be reflected, but...
It was shown as a line item. You would see it as a line item that, you know...
There'd be a line item for brick in there, and if that money was not expended, you'd wonder what was going on.
What's the third
right, one? Right, but I would say there's just better mechanisms for that than that, but go ahead. The third reason for... The
Basically,
I was going to boil it down to two, which is the first one and the third one. Exactly. I've listened to John talk, and it began to make less and less sense to me as well why he wanted this, because the numbers are made up. I mean, so they can go back and make them up to
John wants because he's numbers oriented and he understands the world by looking at the numbers.
But the other reason too is to determine what your investment is.
That's right.
Well, exactly. But see,
if you have a pink price and you're agreeable to it, and you know, if you want to go buy a car, you know what the dealer's paying for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay a fixed price, and the fact that he makes more money than you thought, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Or if he makes less, that's the way it goes. You just move on. The thing that bothered me a little bit about the numbers in terms of the audit process or looking at it is the numbers that are important to the town in terms of their investment work was only one thing. That's another very
important thing. Exactly.
We don't care what the numbers are.
Exactly. Above it.
Except to see that they're doing what they said they're going to do.
Yes, that's correct. That they build what they promised to build in the manner they promised to build.
The only thing that, and he ought to be able to come up with a fixed amount of what the underground is going to cost fairly soon in the process. Yeah, that's going to be some variance.
Well, it's a rock very
well. Yeah. So
it's
a rock made out of concrete.
No, there's no question. Yeah.
And he keeps focusing, and then John sort of focused on the fact that there's all this stuff up in the air. That doesn't have anything to do with
us. Well, we don't care. No. I mean,
we care what it's like all that, but we don't care what it costs.
Right, and we don't care if it's 320 square feet per parking space or 380 if we get a fixed
amount. We get a fixed amount.
That's right.
It's irrelevant.
But that was a big deal to him, and that was one of the first things he talked about. I'm talking about things in a different order than we had the discussion, just because I think the logic unfolds a little bit better. But
that does not offend me.
You know, and John's rationalization or reason for wanting the numbers is he wanted to make sure that Casey wasn't making too much money to some degree. But the fact is that, you know, Casey's the best deal we got. I mean, we go back to Grub, and then it's, I mean, but in that case, it's making good money.
We want him to make money because you can get 20%.
Exactly. We want Casey to do very well. We just want to fix our investment to where we're comfortable.
Right.
So, okay.
If there was no profit participation, then as a council person, I would want to look at it a little differently, because I wouldn't want all of a sudden it to come out in the newspaper, which I don't know if your newspapers like some of them I deal with, that the development made 35%. Mm-hmm. That would make you feel bad, look bad, everybody yell at you. But when you have a pocket participation, you want them to, because to the extent that they do well, we are going to be a beneficiary of it. And 20% is a pretty generous pump, frankly.
In that regard, just segueing right into that, Casey is pretty plain spoken about when he thinks the profit will start to flow on the job, and he believes it's somewhere around the 95%, 90% level. That until they sold 90-95% of the units, there won't be any profit.
I agree with that, yeah.
And so he would want to make sure that things are written so that there was not some arbitrary date or period of time, but that instead it focused on the 90 or 95% level. And I think 90 was for
the other 90.
95% of residential I had in 90 South and State Retail.
Yeah.
Right, like, and then he would be based on the appraised value.
Right.
He'd buy us out based on the appraised value of the retail.
And that seems reasonable to me.
That's very funny.
He also he did a generous thing because I assume because he's my nice guy. He pointed out, he said, you know, I could fix this so that we never got to that point the way it's worded right now. I could just decide not to sell them all, and then they never would. I never would at this time. And
well, that's why we had the 6 months
of the Yeah, he was trying to
he was being fair.
And I think that again indicated the kind of spirit we had in the discussion. I had another point I was gonna talk about, Ralph. What was it?
On that, on the
not on profit participation, but another somehow I think that I bungled a piece of this. What I was remembering was that the price for the option to extend for an additional 25 years was arbitrary and determined as one half of the value for each of the two lots. So, and I was remembering, I remember the numbers we put in is $1,750,000, but they've originally been $2 million and $1.5 million.
Yeah, I don't know where my $1,750,000 came under a very simple theory. You paid $4 million for 100 years. That means $25 would cost you $1 million. But that's
okay. What we did was they were willing to agree to $2 million and $1.5 million. And I couldn't remember the exact rationale. I remember it was arbitrary, but it made sense.
Is that in present dollars or in 19?
Then the question came, is that in present dollars? And it says $2,005. And I said, my understanding is, yes, it's $2,005, and not to have any multiplier applied to it over the years or anything like that.
Well, that's a bargain.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I agree, it doesn't matter. No, that's okay, but they were concerned about, according to the end, somewhere it said that they were concerned about the condo association getting the money together for that.
They're not worried about it.
They understand that
it's nothing but hocus-pocus as a sales thing.
The other thing you could do is you could give the condo association 5 years to pay.
We could be negotiating at that point, but they didn't hear
it. Only 50 years from now, nobody's going to care.
None of us,
that's not going to
be completely different.
I was scared.
You're okay. I'm not going to care.
Somebody's going to care.
But it's one of those things, it's an unknowable. We cannot know whether $2.5 million or whatever the sum is 50 years from now is going to mean anything. Dollars may not mean anything.
And the 2-year, 10-year, it's just, he agreed to 2 years.
Yeah, he agreed to 2 years.
And he wanted to be nice, you could get him 5 years.
He doesn't care. 2 years.
That's right. What else, Ralph or Bill?
Well, there's a few little things about it.
Did I get all the big ones?
Yeah.
Right. So the notion that the ground rent on the commercial space he would pay, it's the same model that, you know, that he'd be paying to work for the ground lease on the land and the right to build on that. You know, I mean, he's not reaching into future profits to pay us that $900,000.
He's paying future rent.
He's prepaying.
Sure, okay. Sure.
And then he discussed the same concept for parking spaces. In the Wallace Deck. He needs parking spaces in the Wallace Deck. We need money. What he was sitting there doing was figuring out how he would structure this deal in a way that he could borrow from his lender.
Mm-hmm.
The
money.
Right. So if he tells his lender that he needs to prepay his 70 space or 50 space parking leases, he will give us that in a lump sum, right, because he's just borrowing
his partner's branch. And then the problem being that
can't bring his income over the next 20 years.
That's right.
On those basis.
But there may be some way to work some of these things out. We just haven't had time to explore all that. There's one other thing, if I touch on the major points, and that's he would like an opportunity to draft something and give it back to us to look at. He wants to work on his page. And I said I didn't have any objection to that. But what we would do with it is we'd keep what we thought was their page and we'd mark up the rest of it and react to it.
More than that, he wants to strip out a lot of that language about approvals and just the special use whatever is already established by ordinance or law, he wants to strip out of there, and he wants it to be more of a streamlined, a smaller document that really is understandable to the reporters and the public and to us about what the financial deal is here.
It's gotten way too long.
I think it's gotten way too long, too.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Well, they had three lawyers that each thing is the same thing, so they had to do something.
So he offered to write something.
There were some uncommon comments about lawyers earlier today.
I didn't mean, you know, private companies.
I should share this, I think. I invented a bar there called Lower Than Lawyer. You take a piece of paper and you write lawyer right in the dead center of it. And then you put forward occupations and professions and you argue whether or not that should be lower than lawyer or higher than lawyer.
And where did architects come out?
I've seen architects on both sides.
I put mine mostly with roofers and sheetrockers.
I used to play squash with a lawyer and a realtor, and we always used to talk about which of us was suffering by the association. And that wasn't happening.
I mean, the kicker at the end was that he actually put a proposal on the table at the end, which Cal recommended we think about, and Kevin recommended that we think about, but he proposed if we gave him 70 spaces in the Wallace Deck and agreed to 15% across the board on affordable housing, that he would lock us in at the no more dollars from the town and guarantee that.
$0. Yeah.
Zero. And zero in the future. Zero. He would take all the market risk on the deal.
And the reason I've recommended that the council members think about it rather than react to it is because my gut reaction is it would be very difficult to make that work.
Too many spaces.
Too many spaces, and it's got to be a number higher than 15%.
Right, but what I think that indicates that we're talking about a couple million maximum, that's at play here.
And they acknowledged in that regard that they were talking about the $1 million gap that existed, and I reminded them that it was really a $2 million gap because John was seeing 1.1 million in grants. And they said, we never counted on that. So they're making the grant money problem go away altogether.
They're making the grant problem go away, and you know, we walk away where Cal agreed to look on the town side for some and they agreed to go back through the financial side, looking for ways that he could capitalize prepaid, you know, mm-hmm. that were basically that he could do, you know, prepaid capitalized components of the deal, and for all intents and purposes, put cash in our hand to close mm-hmm. the gap.
So he wants a fixed price deal with Council, and he wants to have only reasonable approvals, and he wants to have as much parking as he can get at the loss that. And I think those appear to be his key concerns.
Let me throw out a possibility or a suggestion, not wanting to undo anything. The only advantage of the MOU is where they kept adding lines and getting more specific is that saves us time and energy when it comes down to the actual development mm-hmm. agreement, because we're going to eventually get to there. And a lot of things that have been added, there's nothing wrong with it, but it was more intended that would be in a detailed agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that this would be difficult for the media to understand what might be an alternative approach for me. Everybody's objective is to have him do one in the nature of an executive summary.
Mm-hmm.
A 3 or 4 page bullet, this is the deal.
That's what you're getting.
Yeah, that's what he's going to try.
And then make sure all those points are in here so that we've got the hard stuff that mm-hmm. has to be negotiated done, and that's the formal document. It's mm-hmm. not binding.
Mm-hmm.
Do the executive summary.
It's the intention of the parties.
Right. Because you don't want to lose the benefit and have to re-argue some of the things mm-hmm. that appear to be okay now.
Mm-hmm.
That will save time down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's not what he wants to do, that's fine.
I think that's the direction he wants to get that picked up.
I think we're going to, in 48 hours, 36 hours, have whatever he's telling me. He said, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work on the spreadsheet, on the plan, and I'm going to write, you know, my version of the MOU tonight.
And they do not want to have a negotiating session on Monday. They simply want to present the new drawings and design issues to the council.
Casey's not available on Monday.
Right.
So what is the, are we going to meet during the day with them on Monday?
No.
They just want to do the council meeting.
Right. 5:30.
5:30.
That means I'm released, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thanks, dear. You don't want to go to the council meeting on this?
No, it's not at all.
Maybe probably
we'll hide there for that. So.
If you wanted to come early and have them present to you all first, so you give them feedback first, I bet you could arrange that.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You take care of that, Chris.
Well,
now that would you want to do that around 3:00?
3:30.
Yeah, 3:30.
3:30. Okay. All right. Let's try for 3:30. And you and I need to work a little bit on the economic aspect, so we can be ready. Not today.
Highlight the things that Harlow told me last night that were, for the most part, apparently based on Ivy's comments, and I just want to see where the data was. She said, when she says they, she's me and Ivy. He's concerned about Rotterdam and the Orange County Land Trust guy having sufficient funds to do this deal. In other words,
she briefly raised that issue.
Right. That was part of, yeah.
Okay.
And our response to it was that we think we can come up with the funding that Robert might need in order to carry out his end of the deal.
And the approach I suggested to Hollywood to solve that, it says that if in fact they don't have enough money, without saying we're going to provide it. Then to those that they can't assimilate in terms of sale, they could rent, but if they couldn't even rent them because they couldn't do anything, they would reduce what they had to do. Because if they can't handle them, they can't handle.
What do you mean reduce what they would have to do? The 15%.
In other words, if you don't fund them, they can't handle.
We can handle it.
Right.
And there's another option I suggested to Robert that he think about, because this is a legitimate concern. And that would be that they take them down in stages. So I don't know how many units it'll be, but if there are 30 units, maybe you take only 15 of them in the beginning, and then another 15 are rented for a period of time, and then you take the next 15 or something like that.
What do you mean take them down?
So, accept responsibility for them. Mark,
what's the number of units on the lot 5 total?
124.
124. Okay, so basically the difference between 15 and 7.5 is somewhere around 7 total units.
Yeah,
I agree.
You said they lose that $100,000 in each quarter.
Right, but that gives it a dollar value. It's a $700,000.
He said he would give us credit at 150. When he was talking about reducing affordable
neighborhood, okay, but so 16.25% is 3.5 units, it's 4 units. So,
the key point is, I think we can figure out a way to help.
I mean, I think you said here in this meeting, we're going to cover that.
Yeah, I think we can.
And then on the way out the door, it was agreed that Casey would talk directly with Cal in the next couple of days.
Right.
To discuss these different financial options.
Figuring out how to make the numbers work.
But actually, she said they wanted 15 feet in width for the tables and stalls and stuff, and not pull them off.
That's not a problem.
The channel was just an arbitrary number to start with.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a thing. I was told that where we had the base rent increasing by the consumer price index, that they wanted a cap in any 1 year, and it was a 15% inflation. They didn't want the rent going up.
It's due now that they're going to pay us for the flat.
They're going to prepay.
They're going to prepay for the whole 99 years.
They're going to prepay for
probably 15 years.
Group ground rental on commercial space?
They're going to prepay on
people 900,000 residential component.
At 10% discount, they're going to pay $900,000.
And
we said we like that.
For 99 years?
They had already agreed to pay a portion of it, and this is
at 10% discount, and it was going to be $900,000.
So that there is no month in the
lifetime.
That falls out.
A big chunk of the gas coming.
Right. You
don't have enough money for that enough.
They had already agreed to pay 40 years of it, hadn't they? We're talking about the retail. They had already agreed to prepay 40 years of it.
You figure 20, figure that there's roughly, say, 30,000 square feet at 250.
It's 2.5 of a square foot.
And then multiply that out.
It was today's price.
Yeah. And then discount it.
We have investigated that number. It was a number he put on the table as an example of the kind of thing he'd be willing to do.
There was some noise about having a condo association have time to pay it and all that. That's
gone away.
I don't see that's an issue at that time. She raised the approval thing, and any approvals only for the purpose of our investment, which now goes away, and just ensure that you're complying with what we have approved and make sure you've got the equity. Last time we had up on the board there those 5 or 6 things, and those were
elevations, plans,
scale drawings, all improvements on a 1-40 building plan view, elevation, all sides, cross section drawings, scale plans for street level improvements, and outline building specifications, exterior color and signage.
So we need to be specific enough to add, we want to see a picture of what it looks like on Columbia Street.
It says from all sides.
Well, this is actually kind of from an angle.
Well, Comedy Street would be the eastern elevation, but it would be obscured by every building.
Yeah.
Well, there's some confusion about her in seeing what it looked like.
We didn't handle that. One of the things that I think we ought to do is require them to give us the digital images in a form so that we can drop it into our downtown virtual hall. And then
so
they
do
be able to show
so they do like, can they do like 3D films?
They've already downloaded it, so.
Well, we can require them to give it to us in a form so we can drop it into our digital
and
model.
I think that's interesting, but I wasn't aware that you could actually take it here and manipulate it from different angles.
Yeah.
You can do that?
Yeah.
We've got
a virtual model of the downtown, and all we need is the data so we can drop it in, and we've got a contractor who does that for us, and it won't cost that much money. You remember how much?
And the idea was, that's what you're making, you would approve all those items
$5,000
for the SUV.
And then it's up how Matt did your composite, doesn't it? That's what was really good.
And then your review of budgets and stuff, and all your reviews then key to it complies with this, you haven't changed the
right.
Secondly, that you've got sufficient money to finish the deal.
Right.
And if they agree to that, I don't have trouble with that.
They totally agreed to that already.
Yeah.
I mean, that was discussed in significant detail.
I think what happened is to get Casey really involved, get him in there to look at it, and then to have an exchange of ideas as opposed to where we sat down here and heard soliloquies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of go back and try to change things in a vacuum. You wait a week and then you get
anything. Yeah.
I think it was the Southern Charm.
You
know,
the other thing that Holly jumped on is they were extremely nervous about getting the release from Bank of America.
Mm-hmm. Any views on that front?
Well, I gave Chris a document that I had and asked her to get back with me.
The letter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we got?
A soft letter.
It's a soft letter. Yeah. And I said, when you need something else, get back to me, and I think I didn't really get that far.
They were extremely nervous about that.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to spend a bunch of money.
And they
were going to get it, but
hanging out there.
No, sure. I understand exactly why they. That would make them nervous. I just wondered if it's pretty easy to get for
him. When did we get this?
I gave it to John Thursday. I got it the day after we met.
Right. And I told Holly and Bill Acock, we have that letter that says they'll do the deal. It's not a binding letter, but Bill said he followed.
Says, I believe the bank will be favorably inclined to grant these accommodations as well as other accommodations related to the redevelopment. That's about as much as you can get from them.
What I've done is grant as a release deed. And what I'd like to do is, when I'm down the money, is get a hold of their bond lawyer, outline how this deal is,
mm-hmm.
and this is what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't want, what they don't want, is they said, yeah, we'll do it subject to seeing all these drawings
mm-hmm.
and seeing the final plans.
Right.
That would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what I was saying. Let's believe over a number of conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it. I've got a draft that should come in the round along here that I can look at tonight, and then I'll get it up with
the process, which is a bond period, go straight to that.
No, just straight to their bond council. What's your name?
Mary
Nash?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
Just go straight to her and explain
mm-hmm.
how the deal is. And here's what we have in mind.
Sounds like she'll be all right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not like one of my developers trying to get a release. You're the parent.
Right.
You don't fall, otherwise
you will
lose all your credit.
And we have been in business longer than Bank of America.
That's right.
Other points that were
up here.
Okay.
On this lead language.
And we'll rewind it in.
Oh, yeah.
So we should just put a period after your additional sentence. After improvements, we should have been here to instruct the additional language.
Okay.
And I showed that to Ivy, and she made that note as well.
Bill, I think the meeting today represented very significant progress and set us up so we can move ahead. I was getting frustrated with it, but I'm not frustrated anymore. I feel much more comfortable about the way it's moving.
What are you going to do about John?
I'm going to talk to John and tell
him. Okay. Look, John, I'm going to tell him that he earned his money.
But they're willing to pay $2 million not to have to put up with his crap.
That'll be objective in the first place.
More than that, they're willing to pay maybe three, you know, more, at least $2 million, and guarantee that we're, and take all the project risks.
Yeah.
Materials.
He got us to this point, and he's serving us well. That's what I'm going to say to him. I'll explain the dynamics.
Are they going to, he has a contract.
He's still going to be in the deal. They don't have any objection to that.
And that's supervising construction or modeling.
He's acting as our representative. Yeah. It's looking at their numbers during the project to make sure that they accomplish the things that you're talking about.
My question is, what were you looking at in the way you were describing the delay part? I have a couple of tiny questions or points on the draft that we have. And this was the first one was a design issue, so it probably doesn't even need to think about it right now, but there's this gray, so I'll put it on page 7. Anyway, the issue is that the phrase is private, limited, common area that we've been talking about is between the two buildings. Well, there are at least two council members, not me necessarily, but Steve Wiggins and the mayor, who are still really concerned that that area is private. And I'm starting to see their concerns, but the ground floor is is not residential.
We're talking about it's a path on the road edge, but that's what you're talking about.
I'm on that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm just saying that if that could be designed, that's a design issue.
That is a design issue.
We have to agree for that area to be private. We haven't agreed to the design of that area.
No, you're right. But that's something that ought to be raised with them in your discussions.
I thought we got pretty close to saying that that could be private.
It was signed with me, but we have two.
I think we did it in the spring.
Not signed.
I didn't realize that.
I think we did it at the last.
I thought so too.
No, because either they haven't both said that's not signed, or even told me after the meeting, I wanted to say that was not horrible. And I personally am thinking that. My own personal feeling right now is that I don't know whether it's fine or not, because I know that lot 1, lot 5, it's fine to have private, the common safety private, because that's all condominiums. But here, the upstairs is condominiums, but the downstairs is on street level. There are retail spaces between there, and it's confused. It's a confused space, and I think it needs to be designed there.
Well, I don't think you should have a totally enclosed public space, totally enclosed by private. I mean, and that's what I've all along assumed it is. I'm not even sure it's on the ground floor.
That little courtyard, buildings. There's no retail space.
On the road.
My question is, they thought there'd be residential space on the south side of that building, and that there'd be commercial space on the north side of that building.
Okay, I was just thinking commercial space would go all the way through.
I don't know that's particularly clear.
They're talking about real small commercial spaces on residential buildings.
That's the affordable retail.
Yeah, what I thought people were talking about is having that open so the public could walk through it during daytime hours to drive it easier for the
actually, right, right.
Well,
yes,
and I
don't
want that. The thing is, I need it to be one or the other.
It is, I think that they took, obviously we have to clarify that.
Yeah.
And well, first of all, it's not clear. The last iteration of it was a garden simply to serve that residential component, mm-hmm. and I thought there was no, that was separate from the retail and commercial activity.
And did you think it's always enclosed and never public? Never
needed to. I think that was. I think that we agreed that that was the best use for that.
For it not to be public.
Right.
Well, you know that it's moving up one floor.
Well,
yeah,
I'm having that problem. I think it's very confused what it looks like it's meant to be simply because it's a street light. And it's on the same block that all the stuff
is. But the street, the access is, well, I mean, it's a design issue.
Yeah, we don't know yet. I mean, it's not designed so.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Not so.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
It's retail, I mean, because residential does five. There are arguments that are different.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's what I was assuming I'm doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Now, on page 10, I was just confused about strikeout. First question. Oh yeah, about 3/4 of the way down.
You're on the same drive.
What does your page look like?
It looks like it has a
letter E.
E on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And about 2/3 down the way down is in E. It's in Roman numeral 2, mm-hmm. A 99 really term shall presume that confirming it to the best of its knowledge at least 50. And then percent is stricken out, but then it's 50%.
No, it's just a time error.
What is it, 50 or 50%?
50%.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought.
Yeah. That's the catch.
Okay.
I can type pretty good, but I didn't understand.
Yeah. Okay. That's all.
Yeah, I can type for you.
I was
a
regional
type intention
state. That's
what's
not
included.
Yeah,
see, I'm really glad to hear that.
I love that state. I could really type faster than the one that I was kind of nervous.
I can do 120 in minutes.
Yeah, that's
in my ballpark.
Yeah.
I was
on 80 at
the time that
it was on the annual
typewriter.
He
had small fingers back then.
Yeah,
that would. I've been trying to learn to type for 20 years, and I just can't.
I couldn't survive if I couldn't.
Oh, maybe. Because I can't read my handwriting.
They're going to get in touch with me shortly.
Yeah, we have the impression is tomorrow, perhaps.
Right, so.
They will send us some sort of written paper no later than Monday.
Okay, so we will meet on Monday at.
We're going to try and set up a
3:30
so we can have a design presentation to the committee. You can give them feedback before they go public with it.
Well, Cal, I would make a suggestion that you tell Casey that we're meeting as a committee on Monday afternoon. It'd be helpful for you to set that as a target to update us on how we're going. Does that make sense?
So it's the town
negotiating
committee to which you're inviting.
Well,
no, you're the meeting at 3:30 or to the whole council?
The session negotiating.
5:30 the whole council after another session.
Oh, I'm
designed. He won't design.
He said it was your question.
Well, he's going to be here at 3:30 to
7:30. Yeah.
We just want to live in
right. I have it open to that. I don't see how I can do that within all the sort of things I have to do. How about 9 ago? Are you going?
I was hoping you were going to go see if you can breathe me and send my regards.
Yeah. So, do you think it was because there was a smaller number of people in the room that y'all made the progress that you made?
Or maybe the absence of one key person?
Well, you said that already, but.
I think it was the smaller number.
And I think
it was that Martha wasn't there. I think it was because we weren't having an official meeting.
Right.
And therefore, there was no record.
Yeah.
And therefore, nobody will ever be able to read the minutes of that discussion under any circumstances. There won't be minutes. Only Ralph made notes. I intentionally did not make any notes. I just memorized stuff.
I think also that they realized that that they have sort of lost confidence in some of the things
they've done.
And they sort of saw, gee, maybe these people will walk. They don't want to walk.
That's right.
And I think it was poor communication on their part to us, and maybe poor on ours to them.
They never should have given us the impression that their attorneys were going to be able to negotiate, which they clearly did in the beginning.
They said,
well, they like to do this, is talk about things and let the attorneys duke it out. Well, that's clearly
That didn't even seem apparent during the meeting, so their attorneys were not really participating.
But it was
so clear. And then also, I think Casey pays attention to this in fits and starts. Like, he paid attention to it a lot here, but I don't know how much he paid attention to it in between some of the other meetings, and he's the only one that makes a move from their side.
We told him that we were slow to recognize that nothing was going to happen unless we were negotiating with you.
It was very effective with counsel. But I agree wholeheartedly that Casey is not experienced in the public process.
That's
and
right.
Was
really
concerned about the public process.
He had a lot of comfort in the fact that his key numbers could be protected.
Right. And he did acknowledge early on in the meeting today that this is an important project for RAND because they see the value in entering the state of North Carolina with such a high profile project. So, I mean, there's an intangible here for him that he's...
That's what I told you before. I said, I really think he wants to be in Chapel Hill. I mean, we're not the only thing he's talking about.
He wants to be in the state.
Stuff here too.
Yeah. He said today at one point, and I believe what he said, that they normally would be looking for 15% return on cost. The best they think they might do on this is 12. But they're willing to do it because they think it'll be a good entry to North Carolina.
And he also said, he said that as they're running their numbers, they're not anywhere near 12 at this point.
Yeah.
So, what was Joe Haken's take on this whole project?
Joe Haken has either 48 or 49 special use permits racked up. Everything from the top of the Hill building to the Billcon building to the Elliott Plaza Shopping Center.
Used to be Haken Corley.
It was Haken Corley.
He did the Franklin Street Con. This is what I first met him when I was 18.
He's done more than anybody.
He's
retired now, and so
he's a columnist that's happened on this.
Not anymore. He can't read or write.
Oh,
he's really nice at Consabad. He's confined to a wheelchair. He nearly died about 6 months ago. He was homeless for almost 3 weeks.
But I didn't realize that.
The key thing is, he probably knows more about development than any other human being in Chapel Hill. And he's done deals not only in Chapel Hill, but all over the state, in California and other states as well. And made a lot of money doing it, and had a lot of fun, and has done some buildings that are pretty nice. A lot of them that I don't think much of.
He's done a lot of experts, too. But,
yeah. And I've been using him as a sounding board all the way through this process. I take him to Key Lime Pie, and we eat his Key Lime Pie, and we talk about old Chapel Hill.
That's very funny.
Yes, ma'am. We drink sweet tea, even though I don't like it. And I keep him filled in on where we are and what's going on. And his take on it is just contrary to mine. He believes that the Wallace Deck site is the best site. And he believes that the piece of land on how the post office is the best piece all total. And that what happens there will really be where the money is made. He says, if he were doing it, he would build a lot. He would intentionally stage it so that the Lot 5 development came on first. And then he would really rack up his profits on the Wall Street. And he thinks that's one reason they've always talked about staging.
Casey did ask me and Cal how high you would tolerate the structure on the Wall Street.
Not on the Wall Street, at the Rosemary Block. I said 7 stories. What did you say?
Well, I said I wasn't aware that he was asking about that front piece. So I said if it was in the back, stacked up against the Nation Bank building, nine.
Yeah, you couldn't build on that, I don't believe.
Right.
Is it a support issue?
Well, but that maybe
he could do that. It didn't matter engineering, but it cost millions extra.
Did he get any indication of increasing the number of units on lot five?
Well, that's what they're doing on their spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Manipulation on the way home tonight. They're really looking at what happens to the numbers.
And they still haven't done anything with RBC since.
They've had further conversation with RBC, and they were positive about their discussions with RBC. We didn't spend time on that at all, but they said they made progress in that regard.
It seems to me, and I know this is incredibly difficult, but the place to find the extra parking spaces.
And that
works for us probably even better than it does for them.
They said we can only do so many things at once. And we have other deals other than this going on, and we're trying to get this first part to fruition. Then they'll work more about it, but obviously.
But I mean, it seems like the 70 parking spaces being the hard line, that the answer lies there. And
Ultimately, I think it is. I would rather they just hit us for 15, that they get a 10-year agreement with Bank of America for 50 spaces there.
Right, and then they use that to go forward.
And then they've got time to stage.
No, that would be a reasonable.
Parking lot empty all the time anyway. That would be great.
They have access to that, though.
Yeah.
And people could, he could sell a unit and have somebody parking over there. He wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't be too big a stretch for this part of the world, would it?
Jay feels very strongly that you could sell big luxury apartments at that space right behind the post office.
Well, Joe Pat needs to hear.
And he says that the top unit would be worth $2 million.
Is that seven story?
Seven stories from my conversation with Jay.
Good one.
He says you were up seven.
No.
He says you were up seven behind us, so you reviewed the McCorkle Place and South Building.
Oh, you talking about that really tall building?
It was like the sun.
Seven stories.
There,
so. Seven stories.
Yeah.
It could be that really awesome.
It could be. What did the Troy District Commission say about it?
Don't bet.
They were easy on me the other night.
What were they there for?
For an addition to the back of my house. And Gaston Eubank said I could just plant some more bushes behind it.
Would
it
be hot here?
No, they were all fretting about it the way they do, and I didn't want to change it. So Gaston said, just plant some more bushes.
I think.
You know. have had this meeting if either one of you
or if there had been two of you there, we could not have had the three.
No, I mean, I understand. It was easy for me to. I had things I had to do.
Well, we're all investing a lot of energy into this, and I'm just not being there has to be.
Well, you were pretty sure about what you were going to try to achieve.
And be faithfully reported.
Good. So we are adjourned.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah.